Dear friends in Jesus Christ, welcome on this Holy Thursday, 2023. We are beginning 4 days in a row of divine services here at Bethlehem. What are we looking at? Well, today is Holy Thursday. Mentioned that already. We don't call it Maundy Thursday this year because we are not focusing on the foot washing, but it is Thursday of Holy Week, thus Holy Thursday. We're going to get into some important things here today with the preparing of the Passover meal, the eating of the Passover meal, the instituting of the Lord's Supper, and some other important things. And then we think about tomorrow, Good Friday. That is where we focus on Jesus' very grueling work to win our salvation. We should just be so much in awe of who he is, what he did. It was so very difficult, and yet he did it out of perfect obedience to God, out of great love for you and for me. And then we come to Holy Saturday. So on Holy Saturday, we do the Vigil of Easter. The Vigil of Easter is different than every other service we do during the entire year. It is the first glimpse to the resurrection of our Savior. And then, of course, we come to Easter Sunday. That is technically the resurrection of our Lord. So this year, we're going to be in John chapter 20, and we're going to first see that they discovered, oh, the body of Jesus is gone. Then there's going to be a run to the tomb. Then there's going to be all this circumstantial evidence. Then there's going to be two angels. And then Mary is going to meet Jesus. So I hope you come for the exciting day there where we see our risen Lord and Savior. Getting into our sermon for today, we come to the topic of preparing for the Passover meal. We are in Mark chapter 14. And we're going to look at three different parts in this section of the sermon. First of all, I'm calling the first part here three in one, and I'll explain that here in just a moment or so. But getting into our text, it says, on the first day of unleavened bread, so that began at sunset on Wednesday, and it continued through sunset on Thursday. You have to keep in mind the Jewish way of keeping time was not the same as ours. We follow Roman time, where our day changes at midnight. When you follow Jewish time, their day changes at sunset. So on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to Jesus, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Well, when we think about the Passover meal, keep in mind it's connecting back to the time of Moses. It's connecting back to the 10th plague. If you want to read Exodus chapters 11 and 12, you can find out all about it. You can get all the details. Also, too, with the Passover meal, it is connecting to this idea of an unblemished male lamb. What is that pointing to? Oh, pointing to the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. It also included with that meal unleavened bread. What kind of bread do we receive in the supper? Unleavened bread. It's also pointing to the bitter herbs, the bitterness of their slavery in Egypt. I want you to think about three things now. This is where I'm getting at the idea of three in one. Regarding the Passover meal, that would be one of the three, the Passover meal. That was also Jesus' last supper, the last time he ate before he went to the cross. That would be number two. And then while they were eating the Passover meal, which was also Jesus' last supper, that is when he instituted the Lord's Supper. So with the Passover meal, it's kind of like a three in one. Going on here, in the next part, I'm saying Jesus knows everything. The Bible says, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he himself will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Prepare for us there." Isn't this so similar to last Sunday with the whole donkey situation? Like Jesus knew all about it. Go here, you'll find a donkey, you'll find the colt. We have the same thing here. So Jesus knew about the man. He knew he would be carrying a pitcher of water. He knew about the owner of the house. He knew that that owner would have a furnished upper room where they could celebrate the meal. Jesus knows everything. How should we respond to him? We should be completely honest with him, not just making it look good on the outside, but he knows the depths of our heart. So let's be completely honest with him. Let us heartily confess our sins. Let us also fully trust in Jesus. No matter who we are, no matter what we do, you can be a pastor or whatever, that doesn't matter. We all need Jesus. And then, when we fully trust in him, what should we do? We should radically honor him with our lives. That is a proper response. Well, coming now to the meal preparation here, the disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as Jesus told them, and they prepared the Passover. I want to share with you a little bit of a lengthy quote here from Dr. Kretzmann as he gets into some of the details here of what that meant. So he wrote, "They," talking about the disciples, "they went to Jerusalem, purchased a lamb that met the requirements of the law, and took this up to the temple 1 hour after the evening sacrifice, when all the priests were busy with the Passover sacrifices." One of Jesus' disciples killed the lamb himself, its blood being caught by one of the officiating priests to be poured out at the foot of the altar. And then Dr. Kretzmann wrote, "Then they took the lamb to the house, which had been designated by Jesus, and made arrangements to have it roasted and all the other dishes of the Passover meal prepared." Now keep in mind, this was all taking place from sunset on Wednesday until sunset on Thursday. So that was the day of preparation that I mentioned earlier. And then with sunset there on Thursday, that began then the Feast of Passover. So now we come to the second section of the sermon. These are things that happen while eating the Passover meal. And I have three major things here I want to share with you. First of all, Jesus identified his betrayer. It must have been a shocking thing. Think about these men having been together for the entire 3.5 year ministry of Jesus. They were so close to each other. They had heard the teachings. They had experienced the miracles. And to think that one of them would betray Jesus, that had to be so shocking to them. When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12. As they were reclining at the table and eating, this is during the eating of the Passover meal, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be grieved. That means they began to be sad, sorrowful, even distressed. And they began to say to Jesus one by one, "Surely not I." And he said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl." We don't know exactly the arrangement there with the Passover meal, but let's understand, though, that Jesus himself, he was the host. So as the host, he was most likely seated at the head of the table. So being at the head of the table, what happens? You're at the head of the table. Someone is on your right. Someone is on your left. When we think about this idea of them dipping together, maybe you've been to this situation where you're maybe at a Mexican restaurant, let's say, and they bring out the chips and they bring out the salsa. And if you're with a group, there are like a number of containers of chips and maybe many containers of salsa. And what ends up happening? Well, the ones that are near this particular bowl of salsa, they're all dipping into the same one. Where people sitting way over here, they're all dipping into that one. So it's very possible that with what they were dipping into, we have Jesus seated here, one person here, one person here, maybe one bowl right here, and maybe all three of them were dipping into that bowl. Again, we can't know the details, but Jesus was giving an indication, though, hey, it's the one who's dipping in the bowl with me. Now, is it possible that maybe when Jesus went to dip, that Judas was seated here and they both dipped at the same time? That could be the case, but Jesus was certainly giving an indication as to who was going to betray him. Now, let's understand that Jesus very well knew who the person was. He knows everything. But at the same time, though, it seems that the other disciples, they didn't readily understand that the betrayer was Judas Iscariot. Can you imagine if they would have known that for certain? I believe that those other men, they would have restrained Judas. They wouldn't have let him go in order to lead the Sanhedrin and the guards out to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest him. And then Jesus ended up saying regarding the betrayer, "Woe to that man." Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." The word woe is a short three-letter word. However, though, it is a very strong, short word. What does it mean? Jesus was saying, woe to that man. He was saying, great eternal disaster is going to come upon the man who betrays me. When Judas heard that, what should Judas have done? Of course, he knew he was the betrayer. When he heard those words, he should have been cut to the heart. He should have been overwhelmed with sorrow. He should have canceled his plan to betray Jesus. But he didn't, though. Why is that? Well, he must have had a desire to keep the money that he had been given. And at that point, we can see it in various gospel accounts, but at that point, though, Satan had taken over control of him. So even though Jesus did something in a very strong way and in a very loving way toward Judas, it had no effect. It was very sad. But in a sense, though, think about it like this. Jesus was giving Judas a final opportunity. He was saying, Judas, I know exactly what you're about to do, and I'm trying to persuade you not to do it. Repent now. Don't go through with it. Here is Jesus loving him all the way to the end, and yet Judas anyway decides, nope, I'm not going to listen to you, Jesus. I'm going to do it my way. Aren't there so many people in the world like that today? God is reaching out to them. God is loving them. God is pointing them to his word. God is pointing them to his son. And yet people, for all kinds of different reasons, they are rejecting in a similar way to how Judas rejected. What about for us? Do we know some people like that? Probably all of us know people who probably, now we can't know anyone's heart, but probably there are people who are not in Christ. What does God want us to do? He wants us to be bold and loving towards such people, calling them to kindly repent before it is too late. And then in this section, we come now to Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took some unleavened bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant." In other words, this is my last will and testament, which is poured out for many. With those words, Jesus established the new covenant, or we could say the new testament, which God made with the world. What is that new covenant, that new testament, that through Jesus' given body, in his shed blood, forgiveness and salvation are being offered to everyone. Such a wonderful, wonderful thing that God is doing for the entire world. So it's out there even now for everyone. God is offering it, but of course, sadly, not everyone is receiving it. God has done everything through His Son. Everything has been taken care of, taking away our sins, opening the way to heaven. God is calling everyone to repent and believe and come for this grand celebration yet to come in the very presence of God. And yet so few people are accepting the invitation, are receiving Jesus Christ. Let's be so thankful that God has gotten our attention, that we know that in Christ we are forgiven, and may the joy of what we have, may that even spread to other people that we know, that they might also want that joy, they might also receive our Savior. And then Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." What is that talking about? He's talking about the great wedding feast yet to come. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the groom and the church that will be all true believers. We are the bride. One day, the groom is going to return from heaven. He's going to gather up his bride. He's going to take us back to his Father's house, and we are going to celebrate the wedding feast, and it's going to be an awesome, awesome thing. That's what Jesus' statement is pointing to. And then after that, the text concludes like this. After singing a hymn, what hymn did they sing? Very possibly they sang Psalms 113 to 118. Remember, the Psalms are the hymn book of the Old Testament, so they probably sang those Psalms, and then they went out to the Mount of Olives. What is going to happen at the Mount of Olives? That's where Jesus is going to pray his famous prayer, and then that is where Judas is going to come with the many, many other people, many more than are portrayed in the movies. We know he came with a cohort. So he came with 600 people to arrest Jesus there in Gethsemane. What have we looked at today? We've really looked at the beginning of a true love story. It's a love story of the love of God the Father, the great love he has for us, the great love he showed to us in the sending of his Son. And the story continues tomorrow on Good Friday as Jesus actually does that grueling work of all that he has to endure, not only physically, but then taking our sins, taking the punishment of God, and all that he endured for us and for our salvation. I hope you come and join us tomorrow as well. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for leaving us with holy baptism, which is greater than circumcision. Thank you also for leaving us with the Lord's Supper, which is greater than the Passover meal, the Lord's Supper being the New Testament Passover. We pray that you would grow our gratitude for your great sacrifice, and also may you grow our desire to receive your precious gifts. In your holy name we pray. Amen.